Hi, and welcome to Is It Dad Rock? Yeah, I'm Martin, and with me and Steve this week is James from the band Stankfinger. Say hi, James.
Hello.
Stankfinger are a ska punk band from Great Yarmouth here in the UK. And before we get to know James a little bit more, here is Help Yourself.
James, thanks for joining us on Is It Dad Rock Yet? I've got a few questions to get you warmed up. So first things first, what's the last thing you listened to that wasn't NoFX?
The last thing I listened to that wasn't NoFX.
And feel free to check Spotify or anything like that if you've got it handy.
That is a tough one.
You just listen to NoFX all the time?
I wish. Yeah. I mean, you could. But no, I think I'm a sucker for putting Spotify on. It's like automatic.
Oh, like the radio.
Yeah. So it's kind of good at pushing good stuff. I think it's getting better. But yeah, I think the last song that came up was a Less Than Jake song, which Also big fan, of course.
I love Less Than Jake. I've seen him live recently a fucking ton.
It's just they're just constantly touring.
Yeah, and they're better than they've ever been. Oh, so good.
I hadn't seen them live until 2019, I think. And then I think I've seen them like 5 times now.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, they just kill it every show. Do you know about his strength and convictions? Or has he put all the faith in religion? Did we take the time to really discover how little we know about each other? Keep us from saying anything. Can't separate from everything. Yet all this really means it. You're one in a crowd and you're paranoid of every sound. You're not a friend, you won't miss anyhow.
Steve, what about yourself? What have you been listening to?
Got to double check. It was the Young Hearts, actually. They released a new song. It'll be months ago, if you're listening. But yeah, their new song was released a couple of days ago, and I listened to it tonight. I thought it was really good.
Nice.
What about yourself, Martin?
Well, I've got smart lights in my living room and I've got like a bay window, and I asked Google to turn the bay window lights off and it played Window Licker by Aphex Twin instead. So that's the last thing technically I listened to about half an hour ago.
Right.
So there we go. Bit random.
And it'll keep pushing similar things from now on.
I do not like Aphex Twin. Just absolute creeps me out.
Oh, it's horrendous. Some of the stuff's all right, but some of it's just shit, personally. But yeah, anyway. James, next question. What's the song or the band that got you into alternative music?
Well...
if you had to single one out.
I'd say there'd be two, kind of. Two. One, the obvious choice was a... I was a child of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, the game, of course.
Oh, we all were.
Wasted yep. So many hours. So it's got to be Goldfinger, of course, Superman.
Nice.
That's the song that kind of started it off for me. And coming into that culture a little bit with friends that were into that, I then heard, I've completely forgotten the name of the song.
We'll edit it so it's all smooth, don't worry.
Yeah. Take Two Placebos from NerfX. Take Two Placebos. But that's the way he pronounces it, which is really odd.
Typical Fat Mike.
Yeah. I guess he had to fit the syllables in, so he elongated the word. But yeah, I heard that song, and it just blew my mind how melodic and fast it was, and it's just, yeah, it just changed my life, really. Did you see my song on the record sleeve? It's going up for sale as soon as it gets saved. Interrogation blues. Once again, I lose. You don't get to magnify my. Then you get coming lame. Want some in my shoes.
Who's your favourite artist or band right now?
Right now?
That right this very one. Second.
This second? That is putting me right on the spot.
It's such a difficult question.
Like, I know, there's so many.
You feel like you've really got to be like, you can't just say like Kylie Minogue or something. You've got to be someone like really good. It says so much about you. You feel like you're going to be judged on this answer when you will be.
It was going to be Kylie Minogue, but I probably better change it now. But, yeah.
Rick Astley.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, of course. The Rickster. Yeah, goes without saying. I think it's got to be less than Jake, I think, at the moment.
What do you think of their new album?
Which is the latest one? Is that
Silver Linings? It's not really new anymore. I think it's like 3 years old. But
yeah, that's what threw me. Yeah, I was like, oh, they released another one. No, I really like it. I mean, I think that's their first writing it themselves lyrically, other than because obviously Vinny used to do all the lyrics, the drummer, and yeah. He moved on, still alive, thankfully. Yeah, he moved on. So they've obviously had to take up the mantle of doing lyrics. And I think it was a great album. Some great songs on there. Really catchy.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was one of the best in a while.
Yeah. I just love their modern sound. They just get... I've been watching them since I was a kid, many moons ago. And yeah, they just get better with age, really, which is the opposite to what you'd expect.
I've definitely just got worse in general. My body's got worse. Everything's just shutting down.
Yeah.
It's I'm ruined.
Speaking of bands who get better with age, Goldfinger as well are another band who have released some sick albums recently. I say recently, in the past 10 years.
That's recent, Steve. Yeah.
Yeah, The Knife, it got some stick, but I really enjoyed The Knife. And obviously they made some good hires. They hired Moon from Story of the Year and Greek Fire on guitar when Charlie left, and obviously Charlie came back, and now they kept everyone, so it's like a big super group now with Mike Herrera in.
Next question, I'm going to ask Steve first, and it gives you a little bit of chance to sort of have a think, James. So Steve, if you could politely ask a musician to stop making music ever again, who would you ask?
So I've got two, and it's either going to be Red Hot Chili Peppers or Ed Sheeran.
Oh,
okay.
I'm going towards Ed Sheeran because Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, they do have some okay songs back from the early 90s, but Ed Sheeran, I suppose Ed Sheeran, when he first started out, he wasn't too bad, but it just all sounds the same. Like every song is just the same now. And he just grates on me. And it's not that he's just on the radio. He's also in like loads of films and he's in TV shows. And it's like, oh, just fuck off, Ed.
Just take your millions and fuck off.
That's a really good shout. Sorry, Ed. But yeah, that would have probably been my pick as well. I don't know if you want me to try and think of another.
No, no, it's all right. It's a difficult question. I mean, to be fair, I've actually sort of softened this question because Steve said, name a musician that you'd like to kill. So, I mean, I've just asked him politely to retire in the background.
Yeah, I mean, taking it to the next level.
I've got two in mind. One's a band and one's a person. So the band would be Busted. Because I've heard rumours that they're going to be headlining Slam Dunk. Whether these rumours are true, they're definitely not. But, you know, if they just fuck off, then they won't be. So that's fine. The other one is Tom Morello, because I don't like him as a person. I think he's a bit self-centred. But also, every band he tries to be in, he tries to make it to be Rage, and so it just doesn't work. Like Audio Slave, is it Prophets of Rage? I mean, Prophets of Rage, fuck's sake. You know what I mean? They did... Yeah, so I just think, just stop. Either play Rage and don't make anything new. That's fine. I'm happy with what Rage have got. Just, you know, stop trying to make new music and stop being on my news feed.
He's sullying the good name of Rage Against the Machine, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're not big Tom Morello fans on this podcast. I mean, you know.
I sense it a little bit, and I'm with you. On the Busted thing, that's a really good shout. Because for me, it kind of signifies the manufactured music of that era, kind of, because I was listening to a podcast with Matt, the bassist, recently, and he was kind of saying that when he was hired, he couldn't even play bass. You know, he had to learn bass after he was already hired. And that just at the time, there was all this kind of manufactured music going on, and real musicians were obviously getting put to the side. And I struggled to get past that, even as catchy as some of their songs are, and seemingly all great guys. I just can't get over that period of music.
And that's it. Like Tom Morello, he can go in a bin, but like the band busted in general, I don't like, but the people themselves, you know, fair play, you know, I can't honestly say that I wouldn't do the same, you know, if you was offered that dangled that carrot. But like you say, it's that manufactured side of things. It leaves a sour taste in your mouth, especially when, like you say, you've got bands that were grafting. And the whole thing I like about bands is the fact that, you know, they were mates from school. Obviously, that doesn't always have to be the case, but they've always like known each other for a long time, or they've toured. Whereas, you know, Busted seemed like they're just like cool, boom, done, Wembley kind of.
They were slapped together, yeah, and some of them couldn't even play. And obviously, they've matured as an act. I mean, the times have matured, and you now have to play live. You know, the days of miming and magic chords are thankfully long gone. So I'm sure the new music from them is great, but yeah, I just can't get past that. That terrible era for rock music. I'm sorry, Busted.
So I think we're warmed up now, and we've got to know James. We've got to know you a little bit. So let's hear a little bit about Stankfinger. So first question: what is a Stankfinger?
It's probably best not to ask, to be honest. I can explain. When the band started, 2019, 2018. We just started it as like just a kind of release for a couple of us were in sort of serious touring bands at the time, and it was getting more like work, you know. It wasn't great environments for either of us, and we just was like, let's start this. So we'll just do some ska punk covers. We'll play music that we like. So we started it as just me and Ozzy, the other singer guitarist, acoustically. And then we added Mick, our drummer, still acoustic. But we were just joking around saying, what should we call ourselves? Because we had an acoustic gig lined up. And it originally started because it was kind of, we were doing Goldfinger covers and music of that ilk.
Suggested
Brownfinger as a joke. thankfully, it didn't stay as that. So we had to kind of evolve it a little bit. I don't know how it changed to Stankfinger. I really don't. But we're kind of stuck with it now. It's one of those things where at the time it was hilarious. And you think, actually, I'm kind of embarrassed to say what our name is. Yeah, when people ask.
You've got to have that on flyers. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about the name, everyone. Sorry. But no, it's a good conversation starter. People find it funny. And, you know, it just gets people talking before we've even played, you know. And we've had some really good feedback from it. Just from people with good senses of humor, and that's what our act is. You know, it's a happy, jolly, jokey act. You know, we don't take it uber seriously. We're not sort of a dark and solemn act. So having a funny name is just kind of part of it.
No, I think it's eye catching. Like you say, it's funny and it gets people talking.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of half self deprecating about our hometown as well. Cause it's a bit of a grotty town, Great Yarmouth. It has some rough areas. Yeah, it's not the best. So it was kind of a dig at ourselves as well, kind of, you know, the grimy, grotty side. So we've got, that's where the sort of slime element came from in the artwork and things like that. So that's how it evolved.
Well, I mean, Great Yarmouth's not really very well known for its music scene, is it? So what's it like? What's it like being a band from Great Yarmouth? What's the music scene like? Or is it, do you just have to travel?
Yeah. Most of our shows, I'd say 90% of them are away, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because, you know, if you want to move on, you have to do that anyway. So we were kind of just forced to do that for lack of venues. So yeah, it was a good thing in a sense, because it's got a name out there, and we've skipped the whole kind of local band section of everyone's journey, which everyone goes through that bit, and we kind of jumped it out of necessity, and here we are. It's kind of fast track things a little bit, which is just insane.
So it's the whole band from Great Yarmouth.
Yeah. Ozzy, our guitarist and co-singer, is from the Midlands. slightly north area originally, but he's lived here since he was really young. So he's just still got that twang from the Midlands.
what's someone called from Great Yarmouth? What are they called? A Great Yarmouther? Is that what you call them? A Yarko?
That even the meaning of that kind of evolved when we were kids, and that changed. But yeah, I think it works.
Yeah, we're from Ghoul, so we're called Ghoulies. So, you know, that's not much better.
And mine's dad is in a biker gang called the Wobbly Ghoulies.
It's a motorcycle club. It's not a gang, Steve. Have you not watched Sons of Anarchy?
His dad's a drug runner. That's basically it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not fair enough.
So moving on from that, you guys have released two singles so far. You've released Jolly Rancher back in 2020 and Help Yourself in 2023. So what does 2024 and beyond hold for Stankfinger?
Well, to be honest, since releasing the new single, things have kind of exploded a bit, more than we could have imagined. The viewing numbers on the video just organically went crazy, for a band of our level anyway, relatively speaking. Mm. And I think YouTube was pumping it out as a suggested video to fans of similar music, which doesn't happen often these days on YouTube without already having a huge backing and following. So that just came out of nowhere. And we've kind of
struck gold with the algorithm. That's what it is.
Somehow. I mean, to do the same thing on Instagram, we've obviously had to go down the ads route and just to get the song out there to new faces, new listeners. But the YouTube thing has just blown our minds. So we have a tour coming up this winter that follows an album release, which is about 4 weeks' time, with Help Yourself on it.
Oh, well, that'll be out. That'll be out now. Well, I say it'll be out now. At the time of recording, at the time of broadcast, it will be out, yeah.
Yeah, so that should be early November. Not quite sure on the date yet, because just waiting for the artwork. So everything's done and ready. Just waiting on the artwork to drop it. And then we need time, obviously, to do the PR campaigns and try and get some marketing done for it. And then we head out on the road for 7 days. So it's going to be a crazy end to the year. With no tour manager, we're obviously self-managing it all. So we've got to kind of start planning routes and how we're going to sleep, which we haven't figured out yet. We just booked it anyway. We've got to do this. We'll worry about the sleeping arrangements.
If I don't sleep in my Simba mattress, then I'm ruined the next day. So good luck.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We'll either be borrowing or getting a cheap van and literally sleeping bagging it in the back, or we'll be on pool tables and bathtubs and whatever's available with the promoters or the venue. So it's going to be fun.
That is very punk rock.
Not a premiere in sight.
I like it.
One last question, James. Are you ready for a NoFX quiz? Pump Up the Volume by NoFX from the year 2000, as chosen by this week's guest, James from Stankfinger. James, why did you choose this album?
Well, this album, for me, kind of just cemented my love of punk rock. It kind of helped me to find a place as a shy, awkward kid who didn't really know where he fitted in. So I discovered the skateboarding scene, and this album kind of went hand in hand with the timing that I got into that. And I just loved the how melodic it was, how fast it was. Obviously, I was too young to get any of the political references or drug references or anything like that. But I just loved the music.
To be honest with you, I'm never really a big fan of NoFX. But I have listened to this album quite a few times, and it has grown on me quite a bit with, like you said, the melodic part of it, the sort of vocals and stuff. It's actually a lot better than I thought it would be. I don't think I've really ever given NoFX the time of day, really. I don't know about you, Steve.
Yeah, I've given NoFX a bit of time. I just can't get into them. I like the punk part. I love the fast drums, the guitar sounds. They're very much like, if you imagine punk rock, it is NoFX, but I, there's just something about it, and I think it's sometimes it tries to be a bit too weird. It falls flat on me. Saying that, there are a few songs that I really love, like "Sticking in My Eye." Absolutely love it. "Don't Call Me White." "Don't Call Me White." I did read the book as well, the NoFX book, which was really, really interesting. So definitely recommend to anyone that's not read it.
So we've got a warm up NoFX quiz. And when I was looking up some info on this band, I noticed that some of the NoFX songs are, the song names are silly, some are anti-government, some are just fucking weird. So therefore, we're going to play a game, and it's called NoFX or SomeFX. And I'm going to read out 10 song names. If you think they're real NoFX songs, then you say NoFX. And if you think they are made up, then you say SomeFX. Steve, you can play along too. Does that make sense?
Yes.
James, because you're the guest, you get the first dibs. None of them feature on this album, so they're pretty much from the discography of NoFX. Okay, so number one, punk rock isn't real. Is it a real song or is it a fake song?
I'd say real. NoFX.
Yeah, I'm going NoFX on that one.
It is SomeFX, I'm afraid. It's a fake song.
I could see that as a real title.
I could see it as well.
So as well, just a slight disclaimer. So I used AI to do some example ones, but then Steve asked me saying, are they actually good? So I've gone on and sort of tweaked them slightly. So made them. So I've used AI to help, but I've amended them because AI just loves alliteration and you can spot them a mile off sometimes, to be honest with you. So yeah. Okay. Next one. Please play this song on the radio.
That's definitely NoFX.
Yeah, definitely NoFX. I knew that one.
I don't believe you, Steve. It is correct, yeah, NoFX. And number three, is this poop or is it just chocolate?
I could really see that as a title, but I'm going to call you bluff and say it's SomeFX.
I'm going to go NoFX. I think it could be a song.
It is SomeFX. So James is right, it's a fake song name.
Again, I could see it though.
He's taking notes thinking like, I will use some of these song names.
Yeah, I probably will, yeah.
Anarchy in my underpants.
Oh, God. These are all really... AI has done scarily well here, and yourself as well. I'm going to say NoFX.
I'm going to say SomeFX on that one.
It is SomeFX. It's not real. When I made it, I was almost like... Because it had Anarchy Summer, and I was like, fuck it, I'll just put in my underpants, because that is very NoFX style. And I had it like... inside your underpants it's anarchy, but then actually I thought it might be just someone running down a street in their underpants, so it works on both levels.
I suppose I should have picked up the fact that AI would put a cliche word like anarchy in and stuff like that.
Yeah. Number five, murder the government.
That's NoFX.
Yeah, definitely NoFX. I knew that one as well.
Yeah. I genuinely thought that sounded fake. That's why I put it in, because it's so cliche. Anyway, yeah. Next one. Skate it till you make it.
I've not heard of it, so it's gonna have to be a guess. I'm gonna say SomeFX.
Yeah, I'm thinking SomeFX on that one as well.
Yeah, SomeFX, correct. Well done, it's a fake song. Number seven, I'm telling Tim.
That's real, NoFX.
Yeah, I knew that one as well, NoFX.
Number eight, and I'm going to ask Steve first, since you're such an expert, Steve. Idiots are taking over.
That is a NoFX song.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, well done. It is a NoFX song.
Fake it till you make it. I just said it confidently.
Anyway, number nine, we'll go back to James. Whoops, I OD'd.
That's real. NoFX.
Yeah, I knew that one as well. NoFX.
Mm-hmm. And number 10, the last one, I would lead the revolution, but I am too tired.
I'm going to call SomeFX on that one.
I'm just going to go NoFX.
It is SomeFX. It is a fake song.
Oh, yes.
So well done. I feel like, to be honest with you, it's more on have I fooled you? And I think it was kind of 50-50. So I'm liking that. I did better than what I normally do.
Each of the fake ones, I feel, could have been real songs.
And Steve, you're talking out your ass. You don't know any NoFX songs. You just copied. That one to you.
I know, sticking in my eye.
Okay, so now it is time for the actual NoFX quiz. I'd say fingers on buzzers, but I'm going to ask you directly the question, so you don't need to buzz, don't worry. Okay, so question number one. Formed in 1983, the early years of NoFX had a few band members come and go. The current lineup has been the same since 1991, but who is not an original band member?
That would be El Jefe. The guitarist.
El Jefe is correct. He joined the band in 1991, and he wasn't a fan of punk rock when he joined NoFX.
It's quite interesting hearing that on the audiobook, how from different, completely different genre he was. It's quite cool.
Yeah, in fact, Mike made him a playlist, and he was like, listen to these songs, and he hated them all, but he liked For Descendants, so whenever anyone asked him who his favourite band was, he always just said For Descendants. Because,
yeah, that's it, yeah.
Because I think Mike scared him and said, like, if you don't say you like punk rock, you're going to get killed.
You probably would in the LA punk scene, to be fair.
It does not sound nice. But the lineup's been relatively stable with Fat Mike, bass and vocals, Melvin on guitar, Smelly or Eric Sandin on drums, and then El Jefe on guitar as well. And they've had a couple of other drummers, both named Scott, in the mid-80s. Bit of a coincidence. And they also had a lead singer in 1986 called Dave Allen, but he tragically died just 4 months into being in the band in a car crash. So not great. And they did have two other guitarists as well, Dave Casillas from 1986 to 1989 and Steve Kidwiler from 1989 to 1991 when El Jefe took over. Little factoid.
Okay, number two. NOFX are old as fuck. That's a fact. What is the sum of all their ages? Is it A, 228, B, 233, or C, 240? As he frantically taps between his Wikipedia pages.
Yeah, just hey Siri.
And his calculator. Yeah, 228, 233, or 240?
I'm going to go in the middle, 233.
Close, but not close enough. It is 228.
Oh.
Fat Mike is 56, Smelly and Melvin are both 57, and El Jefe is 58. And that is at the time of recording this podcast. If you listen to us years in the future, that is obviously no longer correct.
Okay, number three. Fat Mike is known for a lot of things. Besides being the frontman for NOFX and being the co-founder and co-owner of Fat Records, he is also known for wearing women's clothes. Usually he wears dresses on stage. Do you know why he wears women's clothes?
Because he wants to.
Yeah, he wants to. That's a simple answer, sorry. He likes to just wear women's clothes.
So you ask me why I dress in women's clothes. Is it an SM thing? Or am I trying to make a political statement? The truth is, I like to wear women's clothes sometimes. And I feel like when I'm wearing women's clothes, I feel like a punk rocker again. I feel like someone could beat me up. But I don't know, women's clothes are cool. They're sexy, they're soft. Not as cotton can be so sweaty sometimes on stage. So yeah, I'm not making a political statement other than it's fun to wear girls' clothes. I like to.
So that's what Fat Mike said, but I don't really know what being beaten up has anything to do with, apart from he is into S&M and he is a submissive, so could be that.
I did not realise any of that until the audiobook, I must admit. I was blissfully oblivious to it all as a young fan.
Yeah, I think as well, like, I can imagine it being at the time, it being everyone thinking, why is he being political? Is he, what's the word, sort of fighting against gender stereotypes? And especially in like, late 80s, mid 90s or whatever, wearing dresses would be, I don't know, frowned upon in that subculture. I don't know, you know, I'm surprised it was that accepting, whereas nowadays, you know, I think it's a lot better, it's a lot more normal. But yeah, back then, I imagine someone would be beaten up for wearing a dress down the street in LA or wherever the hell.
Yeah, I reckon in that scene in the 80s and 90s,
a man wearing a dress, not a woman just wearing a dress, but yeah,
yeah, yeah,
fair play to him. Okay, so name the song from these lyrics. Kick back, watch it crumble, see the drowning, watch the fall. I feel just terrible about it. That sarcasm, let it burn.
That's Dinosaurs Will Die.
Yep, absolutely correct.
Kick back, watch it crumble, see the drowning, watch the fall.
I think it's Dinosaurs Must Die, but
oh,
you get the point.
Again, as a young fan, I didn't really get the meaning of that, and kind of now it's really sort of relevant, is obviously it's about the pitfalls of the music industry and how bad it was at the time, kind of harking back to what I was saying about the busted thing. So
question five. Why are NOFX called NOFX? And it's multiple choice. So we've got, is it A, Fat Mike insisted that when they first started, they used no FX on their guitars, so their first EP was just all clean. B, Eric Melvin once had a girlfriend that cheated on him with a sound effects guy. Or C, they're named after a hardcore band from Boston called Negative FX.
I'm going to go with A.
That is incorrect. It's actually C. They're actually just named after a hardcore band from Boston called Negative FX. So they formed in 1981 and disbanded in 1982. They had an album recorded in 1982, but it didn't get released until 1984. So this is all a bit weird. And it was re-released in 2002. I'm not sure why. But they're kind of a big inspiration on thrashcore. And I actually think the album artwork is a cartoon image, like a black and white image of Charles Manson. It was Melvin that suggested it. I think he liked the band and he liked the name. And he said, oh, we should be called NoFX. And they just went with it because it was the best of a bad bunch.
I've always thought it was because they didn't use effects. Not that they were actually clean, because I know they don't play clean, but I know they don't really use much effects either. So I've learned something new.
True or false? Pump Up the Volume was released on Fat Records.
I'm going to say false. That's probably Epitaph, was it?
False is correct, and yeah, it was released on Epitaph. So NoFX was signed to Epitaph from 1991 up until the year 2000. So this was the last album that was released on Epitaph. From the next album, War on Errorism, which was released in 2003, the band have released each album on Fat Records. And Fat Records was founded in 1990 by Fat Mike and his wife, I think it's Erin. Their first release was actually a re-release of NoFX's The PMRC Can Get Sick on This, which I don't know what that means, but Fat Records have released albums from bands like Lagwagon, No Use for a Name, Rancid, Less Than Jake, Rise Against, and many, many more. And for those that don't know, Epitaph was founded in 1980 by Brett Gurewitz of Bad Religion, and NoFX actually recorded their debut album, Liberal Animation, with Brett because Fat Mike just loved the sound of Suffer. Brett originally wanted to release that album on Epitaph, but Fat Mike said, no, I want to release it myself. That was in 1988, and I guess it just didn't work out because Epitaph ended up releasing it with some new artwork in 1991.
Get some real monologue today, Steve, aren't we? It's good. Learning a lot.
A little bit of music history for you.
Yeah, I'm learning lots. It's good.
The first song on this album, And Now for Something Completely Similar, is a parody of the famous saying, And Now for Something Completely Different by Monty Python. In the CD version and the one on Spotify, the lyrics are, hello, welcome to our CD. Can you hear the blatant similarity to Linoleum and Shadows of Defeat? The question is, Linoleum is a NoFX song, but who sings Shadows of Defeat? I'll give you a clue, it's not NoFX, and it is a multiple choice. So is it Rancid, 88 Fingers Louie, Good Riddance, or Pennywise?
Oh, Lord. It's going to be a total guess. I'll say Pennywise.
It's a bad guess. Sorry, dude. It is Good Riddance.
Oh, that was going to be my guess.
The song starts out pretty much the same as Linoleum. The guitar riff is very similar, and it even has El Jefe warming up his voice at the beginning. So I'll play a clip of that now. And here is Linoleum, or Linoleum, however you want to pronounce it. And here is Good Riddance. So the lyrics were changed for CDs, vinyls, and tapes. The lyrics in the CD version are, hello, welcome to our CD. Can you hear the blatant similarity to Linoleum and Shadows of Defeat? And that's also on Spotify, as Martin mentioned. The vinyl lyrics were, hello, welcome to our disc. Turn it louder, get your neighbours pissed, or turn it down. It doesn't matter to me, or it don't matter to me. And the cassette version, so the tape version, said, hello, welcome to our cassette. Have you started feeling some regret? I guess you can't afford a CD.
this is the first time I've seen people do this, like recording different versions of different songs and things like that. The one thing I saw a comment on, it was on YouTube, because I was like listening to the different versions, and someone was like, well, nowadays cassettes are actually more expensive than, like, you know, CDs or records or whatever. Because I only know one or two bands that still release cassettes. I think like Knocked Loose released their album on cassette. So just for nostalgia, for some reason. I assume it probably was expensive to do.
A lot of hardcore bands release tapes these days.
Name the song from these lyrics. Laying around on the couch with my Misfits records out. Softly banging your head. Maybe it's just a passing phase.
I don't know how it's exactly phrased, but it's What's the Matter with My Parents Today?
Yeah, absolutely correct. What's the Matter with Parents Today? Actually, this song came on today when I was listening to the album, and it's the kind of the one that stuck in my head. And I thought, why are they singing about the parents when they're like in the 30s or whatever? But I guess it's like nostalgia, kind of, not even nostalgia. It's like their experience of growing up, but also their target audience is teenagers. So why are they writing songs about being a teenager? Because teenagers listen to NoFX.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Question 9. Only 2 songs from this album have featured on computer games. What are the songs? And it's a multiple choice. So, and 2 of these are on computer games. So Dinosaurs Will Die, Bottles to the Ground, Stranger Than Fishing, and Total Bummer. So what 2 songs featured on computer games?
I honestly don't know. I'm going to say Bottles to the Ground. Crikey. And Dinosaurs.
Of course, it was Dinosaurs Will Die and Total Bummer. So Dinosaurs Will Die featured on MX versus ATV Untamed. I don't know what that is, Martin. Is that motorbikes?
It's motocross, I think, versus all-terrain vehicles, so like versus quads.
Seems an unfair fight.
Total Bummer featured on Transworld Surf, which I'm pretty certain is about surfing. But NoFX songs feature on 15 games in total, and the only song that features more than once on the list is Linoleum, which is in 3 different games. Grind Session, which is, well, I don't know what that's about.
It's a stripper sim, and they're having to grind on the pole. It's really good, actually. I've put many an hour into it.
NHL 2K9 and Guitar Hero World Tour DLC. I'm not sure what DLC stands for.
Downloadable content. Last question, you'll be, I'm sure, pleased to know. So name the song from these lyrics. Walk some in my shoes, then tell me I'm fucked. My humongous hat won't fit your gigantic head.
That is Take 2 Placebos and you can call me lame. I think I forget how they phrase it again, but
yeah, well done. It is Take 2 Placebos and Call Me Lame.
And for many years, I thought he said monkey's head, not humongous head, because his accent's really American on that one.
It comes round full circle. I quite like that, because you said one of the first songs that got into this sort of music in general was that song, and then we've ended the quiz with that song. It's Like We Knew. Pump Up the Volume by NoFX from the year 2000, as chosen by our guest today, James from Stankfinger. It was an obvious choice, wouldn't you say, Steve?
Yeah, definitely. And James, thanks a lot for joining us. I hope you've had a good time. You've got one last chance to speak to our listeners. What do you want to say?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been great. Apart from the fact that it's kind of confirmed to me that I listen to dad rock. So, yeah, don't know how I feel about that.
It's nothing to be ashamed of.
We all do it.
But yeah, please follow my band Stankfinger on. We are at Stankfinger Music on all socials. We have a tour coming up in November 2023, album out November 2023, and hopefully we'll be on the road quite a lot in 2024, so please check us out.
So the album will be out right now, because we recorded this back in October. If you want to check out Stankfinger, it's at Stankfinger Music on Instagram. From there you'll find Spotify and everything like that. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a good night, a good evening, a good morning, whatever you're doing. Keep doing it. See you later.
Thanks so much, guys.
Bye.